306. We know that the Lord will help us as we walk forward on this morning's text. The 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and a part of verse 5. The book of Isaiah, chapter 38, part of verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. We did not read the latter part of this word of God. It's not to this because we are discounting it. It may not be applicable to any of us here. God may not promise to any of us that he will add to our life 15 years. He may not. I knew of one minister who had the promise, and the Lord allowed him to just reach it, but no more. What is 15 years for a moment to think of it? It is only like a shadow that passes of then. We shall be no more. But that is not our subject this evening or today. That is in the hand of God. I often say to him, in my poor petitions, he has a right to put out his hand and take the lilies from the garden, because they each belong to him. And he has a right to call each of us in his own way and appointed time. The important part of it is, friends, may we be made concerned that God the Spirit should make us right. Dreadful thing to be wrong. Dreadful thing, dreadful matter to be without hope. Terrible thought and truth to be without prayer. When you consider the ungodly, they have no refuge to go to. They have none to turn to in their troubles, but like his dear King Hezekiah. Again, we just notice Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. What support in the trying hour of loneliness, when everything appears around your soul to give way, and you're brought to prove the strength of Jehovah as your shield and your refuge. The word of God says, and the Psalms prove it, that he is a very present help in time of trouble. Now, the dear people of God wouldn't know it if it were not for an open throne of grace. The Lord has opened it to them. This suits me, and I know that it suits many of you, since by this new and living way, access to God is given. For sinners may with boldness pray, and earth converse with heaven. You consider what it is. You've been made by God and taught to turn your face to the wall, away from everything else, away from everyone else. And the Lord has favored you with a spirit of prayer. And then in God's time, he says this to you, I have heard. And I don't see, you see, by to look at us in our natural state, why the Lord should take notice of any of us, do you? We cannot take it for granted to say, well, I pray, therefore, the Lord should answer me. No, this is not the way. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His mercies. We not consume when we come to the throne of grace, because between this holy God and the sinner is that precious blood, that precious blood that did once for sin atone. God spoke to him, and the dear man heard his God's voice, came over into his heart. He had the approbation of heaven, the approval of God. I have heard thy prayer. I wonder if any in the chapel can honestly say that you had this, God's approval. That's what you need. That's what I need. I hope the Lord has given it to me. I remember as it flashed into my heart years ago when I felt at the end of everything and I felt I can't see where I'm a child of God, but the greatest thing is if I'm wrong, I'm wrong in everything. It's all followed up and connected so much together. I'm wrong in it all. I'm wrong in preaching. I'm not a child of God. The Lord laid this in my heart. I felt I turned my face away from everyone on earth, and I made this petition to him, but no one on the earth knew it. Lord, prove that thou art my God, and hast sent me to preach thy gospel. Now I say this, and I see it say for the benefit of the young as well. Don't you expect that the Lord will always answer you, young friend, in 5 minutes, nor an older one. You don't gather up your wares, you know, at Jesus' feet immediately that you begin to pray and cry. He waits, often waits, till men are faint, and then he comes, an evening late. And I went on over the months, Lord, do something, prove to me that thou hast sent me to preach thy word. On one Sunday morning I rose, and looking in the little book to see where I thought I should go, if you have to go. And I caught the train, and I will remember I felt so low in my soul that I felt to lay on the floor at Jesus' feet would be too low. I never forget it. The train sailed into London at Trafalgar Square. I had to catch another one to another chapel, to another station. And when I got nearly there, to the after alighting from the second train, I met a friend in the chapel, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm expected to preach here." She said, "Well, our pastor's here today," and my heart sank. The answer sometimes I felt by terrible things in righteousness. Oh, I felt like poor Jonah. I will look yet once more toward thy holy temple. Show me, Lord, still show me. I walked into the chapel, and I sat down, and presently some of the people came from the back of the chapel. And they said, "Oh, we've got so much trouble here. We've had the thieves that have broken the back and set light to the vestry." And I felt in my heart, "Friends, you have not a quarter of the trouble I am. Not a quarter. I fear God, friend." After a little while, the poor old pastor came in and they went down to look at the damage. And the Lord so made it a such a burden to him. Come down to chapel, he said, "You think you've made a mistake. You have. I can't preach." He said, "You must take the pulpit, take the service." And broke into my heart, "I will yet again toward thy holy temple." And that was my text, I'll never forget it, nor will others. Don't be surprised, friends, he'll drive you right up to the last sometimes, right up fear that he had answered by these terrible things in righteousness, and then here calls the north wind to cease. The south wind will blow down upon your dear soul, and that will be for Jesus' sake, we can truly say that, and for the benefit of your own soul. I'll never forget that day until I die. And in that evening, having had an afternoon service and morning, to that chapel I went and preached in a lady's front room in London with about 7 or 8 people. And I never forget, as I went out, she took my hand, she said this, tonight, God enabled you to preach to my soul. That was the ceiling of it. He ministered to me in Providence. No one knew the state I was in, but he ministered to me, he sealed me in my own soul in the ministry of his gospel, that he had commissioned me and sent me. I've heard thy prayer, seen thy tears, many, many. I didn't run and tell other people about the first part, but I felt awful. Now will I tell the sinner's friend, what dear Savior I have found, I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. When I go to that chapel nowadays, that is often spoken of, the night the thieves broke in, when they stole the ordnance plates, and when they set light to the vestry, a time some of us should never, never forget. It's recorded there. God's promise that these things show. So, like Paul, you see, you know not, as I don't wish to confer with flesh and blood, he said, he can do this. He looked at his God, and then he was able to write to the Philippians in that precious third chapter, but my God, he said, you should have his claim, friends, his claim, this is right. His God has said that thou art my servant. This dear man said, but my God shall supply certainly all your need according to his riches in glory. Every need, it doesn't matter what that is, something you need, something you truly desire. And God has truly promised, when they call, I will answer. You sometimes may feel as if you and your prayers are like an empty barrel, rolling down the road and all you have is noise. Just a din. You say there's no feeling. You need something else and you ask the Lord to give it to you. Free access to the throne of his heavenly place. Freedom to his fruit. There's only one way of having freedom, freedom through the precious blood. You should know in your own prayers, in your echo exercises of your own heart, whether or not you have freedom or not. When you do, I believe I can honestly and truly say this, not every night, but there have been times in our front room, which is a fairly large one, when we read and pray, I believe there have been times when I felt the very presence of the Lord in that room with me in prayer. Another time, it's hard work, it's hard going. You have to say, I don't feel the Lord will hear that. Doesn't matter what tears may be mingled with it sometimes, you fear he won't hear, and he won't regard. Now his promise is this, he will regard the prayer of the destitute. If we are destitute, then we feel that we have nothing. Our text this afternoon was brought extremely low from Isaiah, when the poor and needy seek water and find none. In search, you think of this. Go right out yonder, across, right out in the east and wherever they find the diamonds and the rubies and so on, you consider their search. They search and search and dig and search. And sometimes they dig and search for endless days and weeks, and they find none. And that must be heavy going. And that's only material. What about spiritual? You go, you search, you dig, you hunt, you pray, you beg, you knock at person's door, you come again and again, and sometimes you're tempted to give up. No more on Jesus' name to call. You feel there's nothing in it. The devil says there's nothing in religion, don't have anything to do with it, it's the end of it all. Wonder where the whole matter is going to finish. But it's a mercy up to the present time, up to tonight, whatever has happened, that we haven't been left to give him up, isn't it? We haven't been left to give up this true religion we hope that he's given us. And we can't boast, any of us, that we've got a lot. It's just a might. But if the Lord gives us a mighty religion, real religion, we shall hold on our end. Hold on to the end. And it will be like the Lord says, it will be through tribulation, through trouble, through sorrow. It'll be through good report, it'll be through bad report. You think of this, everything will be thrown sometimes against you, and especially the servants of God. And by those sometimes they don't mind when they tell lies of the truth of what it is. And it's a solemn matter to me, you know, when they're left in that condition. The only thing they're doing is to drive the poor wretch nearer to Christ. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come up unto thee, into thy holy temple. They drive you there. They're the means in his hand. It's our blessing when we humble, we see it. Because there is nothing so sweet as sweet communion with God at his throne of grace. Sometimes you see, you find people, they don't have it. Yet they will criticize others and criticize their prayers. They will say, well, I don't have this myself. I don't know if that man or that woman is being indulged too much. Look at the other side. How deep does the Lord take that poor thing? It is through much tribulation, much, that we must enter into the kingdom. So easy. This is the trouble. I'm afraid of this today. So easy to say, well, some of us have it so easy, so long. Only in Wiltshire in last week, someone was saying, you know, this is our whole trouble. Everything is so easy with us that there's no need to pray like the old fathers used to have to. And it's true, it's true, it's true. There's not the tears there used to be. Nothing near their tears. They were penitential tears. They were broken-hearted tears. They were tears that come from a contrite spirit and a broken heart. Not too many today you don't find. You say, prove us and prove the truth of that statement here. It is because years ago they would weep under the truth. They would fall down under the truth. When dear Berridge was at Everton, the word of God had fire, and it entered right into the souls of the people that many fell. That wasn't that they were brought under some illusion of something. They knew that what had entered, they knew the root cause why they had been cut down. It was sin. Sin. How many times you see free will wasn't something that Berger concocted. He was under the divine energy and power, we believe, of the Holy Spirit. If not, we should read his works, have his hymns, sing. He was holy. Think of the sacred place where those dear men and women being cut down and ascending into Jehovah's ear was a cry for mercy. Now come closer. We be brought there. Have we been brought to that place to cry to God for mercy? How many of us have had to cry, Lord, show me a token for good? You need something settled. You need the Lord not only to whisper but to speak. We saw it this morning. The very commencement of it was, thus said the Lord, to make things right. It's not an ordinary word. It's not the word of an ordinary man or person. The word says, where the word of the King is, there is power. It enters into the heart. It is like a sword that is thrust into the joints. It makes its mark and it separates, and so does God's word. That's the trouble, that's the trouble. Not much separation. Not much separation. Mercy when God separates. Oh, very well to say, well, I only talk to chapel people. Just go to chapel. That's all I do. Need something deeper than that. Maybe some of us years back thought, well, that's enough. It's not, it's not. Oh, for this closer walk with God, calm and serene, my frame. How is this going to be brought about by troubles to bring us nearer to God? To have communion with heaven. To give new life to prayer, to faith, and love, to hope. It's the only way whereby we should know that God has a favor toward us. It's better to have his favor, you know, his favor. May we know different things in life. Well, I would like the approval of someone else, someone older, someone different. Young people out there, probably their parents' approval over different matters. No, friends, it's much better to have God's approval. I have heard, and therefore he's approved it. How many times do we pray? The point of it is this. There is nothing hidden from him, and every time we fail, and every time we have a burden in our heart, day by day, and we breathe it out to him, he understands and he hears it, if we're his. Now the next part is the answers. And this dear man obtained the answers. Not before in his loneliness when he says, in verse 13, I reckoned. Have you ever had to reckon up? Dear Paul, you know, he was a wonderful arithmetician. He knew how to reckon. I reckon, he said, that the sufferings of this present time, he reckoned. Dear Hezekiah says, I reckon till morning, that as a lion, so will he break all my bones from day even to night, that they make an end of me. Then he was brought more in his loneliness, like a crane or a swallow. So did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Now, he knew, the Lord knew everything about the trouble. As he knows about your troubles, as he knows about my troubles, and mine are not small. Some that I've had recently enough to break a man's heart. that I glory before the Lord and turn my face to Him. Sometimes even so-called friends will say, oh, the other side is right, without listening. They're not right, they're wrong. If a person tells an untruth, they're wrong. And God cannot abide it. When you can prove that so, then the Lord is not on the side of the liar. He's on the side of the poor and needy. You see what the dear man says in the Psalms about it all. That language right there, be my meat, day and night, unto thee, O God. Why? Nowhere else to go. There knowest all things. He makes you honest friend to open your heart and say, well, they knowest, Lord, the beginning to the end. Then knowest the right and the wrong. Do you believe it? Right. Mercy, you know, when the Lord takes the heart of His dear people, and He ever will, He ever has done. The psalmist said, the Lord shall take my part with them that strive against me. He was with him. Blessed man of God, these characters that were taught this good and old-fashioned way of prayer and faith, made in their heart hope that God would one day listen and then send them answers of peace. Now then, speaking a little further on this, of what the Lord had done, He heard him, and then dear Hezekiah in verse 16 says, O Lord. See how silent. I wonder how many of us have been brought the other side of the answer. I believe, you know, in real religion, there is two sides of the hedge. There's the bitter side, and there's the sweet side. There's the winter side, there's the spring side. The dark side, the sunshine side. True religion. There's two sides, and God brings His people to the very best side. O Lord, see how He impresses His dear Lord by these things men did. Do consider, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Mary was on the way to recover. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. The dear man could have gone to Psalm 119 and had the same language as the Psalms. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. How many of us appeal to God that we might feel this divine power, divine life of faith and love and prayer working in our hearts? How many of us? By these things, look in the holy book and see how many times you will read this. These things. Manoah and his wife, you know, spoke of them, felt them, handled and tasted them. The Lord spoke of these things too, of those that were going to Emmaus. What wonderful things they are that the Lord does for his people. Though he was oppressed, and yet he was brought here. In all these things is the life of my spirit. He should not die but live, and declare the wondrous works of the Lord. You're going to be content now, almost the end of the Sabbath, to say, well, I've even spent in the house of God today. What have you reaped? How did you come? Did you come with the reaping hook of prayer and desire before God? I read while you were singing tonight, let both grow together until the harvest. I suppose seeing so much corn and my journey this afternoon rather affected me, and I had to think of the great harvest there's going to be. You're not going to hide that sinner behind any man, not behind any church, not behind anything. None of us can hide from God. None of us can hide from Christ. How is it going to be with you? Do you feel in your heart and know it by these things men live? They live the life of prayer, life of faith. They have the life of love, because love has life. It's a power. Works in the heart. Works toward God. He draws it because he puts it in the heart first. One little blessing is love. Love that will cover everything, forgive everything. Love will put others before yourself. Love will put truth in its proper place. It won't mislead any. A wonderful blessing is this. And if we are being brought to realize this, so will they recover me. We need recovery in these days in which we live. Spiritual recovery, not these revivals of men. I have many times for these. Only one way whereby the people of God can be recovered. And that is, if only the dear Spirit of God would so descend upon our hearts and spirits, and give to us such a wrestling spirit of prayer, that there might be these amazing wonders of grace brought about. When they pray, I will hear. When thy people come together before me, again, you touched it this morning, Solomon, when they do, then, says Solomon, then hear them in heaven thy dwelling place. Never. And when thou hearest, do thou forgive. If there's any sinner in this chapel, whether you profess to love the Lord or not, if you think that you're going to cover something up from the Lord, you are of all people most deceived, because none of us can. Give me a true heart, give me a sincere spirit of prayer. Let my heart break forth in prayer unto God, and he'll see that it will. Why? He will bring new troubles. He will be inquired of by his people. Though he sees them from time to time in a very low state, and it is as the word of God says, being burdened. They know what it is to be burdened, heavy laden, cast down, like this dear king, oppressed. Alone, yes, alone, bearing it before the Lord. You don't want others to bear it with you. They can't. You think of any trouble that the Lord has permitted to come into your home, or onto you, into your life, into your business, maybe in your body, your mind. He forces you to bear it alone. He won't let you find any relief by trying to pour it out to anyone else. I believe this. There are some things the Lord brings upon his people that it is foolishness for them to tell a soul about. Unto thee again do I breathe my prayer. You see, put not your trust in princes, not in man. Vain is that of man. Vain. It won't help you. Often I might have said this to you before. You may tell the wrong person about your trouble, and your trust, you see, will be betrayed and broken. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. More than this, pour out your heart before him. Pour it out. Not to keep you awake at night, to trouble. I am oppressed, Lord. I can't sleep. I don't know who to go to. then this is the only one. Looking unto him, the dear man, the psalmist, he knew what it was to join in with dear Paul. One says, I will look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Dear Paul says to the Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. Where do you want your help to come? If you can help yourself, you are in an extremely poor condition spiritually. When nothing in ourselves we see or feel, then Christ is all in all to me. May that be our blessed life.